When it comes to electric car charging, it's all about location, location, location. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino in for Molly Wood. Yesterday, we talked about how the growing market for electric vehicles is affecting the supply chain for batteries. Today, where to charge all those batteries. I have an electric car, and a lot more people are going to in the next few years. IHS Market estimates global sales will triple by 2025. But it's not just about the number of cars. It's also about the number of chargers, because I can tell you, it can be a little tricky to keep it powered up all the time. Jessica Trancic is a professor at MIT who recently co-wrote an article on charger placement for Nature Energy. She says for the EV market to grow, we're going to need more chargers, and we're going to need them in the right places. The top priority, she says, should be finding more options to charge at home.
And by that, I don't mean only for people that have off-street parking. But it's home charging for when people are at home, whether you're living in an apartment building or, you know, you're living in an urban area where maybe you park on the street, as well as people living in rural areas. Because basically what it means is that on, you know, more than 95% of days, you're not even thinking about refilling your car like you do today. You know, you're just charging your car and it's ready and charged and ready to go when you want to leave home. So I think we'll get there.
Who is going to be responsible for doing this? Is it city governments? Is it apartment landlords? Like, who really needs to be pushed?
We really need to incentivize the private sector. You know, ideally, this rollout of charging stations will happen in a process where there's a lot of competition. There's different, you know, firms competing for market share. There's a critical role for government policy to stimulate innovation and market growth in areas that wouldn't grow on their own. So these can be underserved areas. That's really critical to enable a more equitable rollout of charging infrastructure and support EV adoption for people that want to adopt EVs, you know, living in many different types of situations.
For businesses where people might spend, you know, an hour or two, or business districts where people might spend a few hours, is there an economic benefit to installing chargers there or to locating your business near chargers?
I do think there's an opportunity to think about, okay, maybe, you know, maybe I'm an owner of a small village store in a rural area. If I put a charger there, if I install a charger there, maybe that will, you know, attract some business. Mm-hmm. What I should say is that what we really wanted to find in that study was places where you could put chargers where people wouldn't incur delays. So there wouldn't be a delay to regular activities. So if you focus on those, then charging can fit into the way people are already behaving and how they're moving around in their vehicles and how long they're stopping at different locations.
Yeah, when people, you know, ask me about how big of a pain it is to think about charging, I always like, because it's a different sort of frame of mind around how you use your vehicle. But we are very used to, say, charging our phones on a regular basis. You know, that's something that we use every day that we always want to have charged up. And yes, like longer battery life definitely helps with that, the way that range helps. But we still have to find times to charge our phones, and we find the right times to do it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there can be a barrier to, you know, like making the decision to go for this and kind of step into the unknown. So I think that's where it's really important to think about and sort of provide the information to people of what this would look like. Where would I need to charge? You know, what's that experience going to be like? And I think, like you said, it can be super convenient. You know, it can be really pretty easy. And I think it's only going to get easier as charging stations expand and, you know, as people just learn, like, okay, what are the, how do I need to adapt my behavior just a little bit to be able to reliably charge my vehicle?
Jessica Trancic is a professor at the Institute for Data, Systems, and Society at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And now for some related links. There are currently about 100,000 public chargers in the U.S., according to reporting from The Verge. President Biden has proposed adding another 500,000 chargers in his infrastructure bill. One thing that could instantly open up new capacity would be making existing chargers work for every kind of electric car, which they don't currently. There are a few different plug types used by various automakers, but Tesla CEO Elon Musk said the company is planning to open up its network of thousands of Tesla superchargers to other EVs sometime later this year. Musk said on an earnings call this week it would just take some kind of adapter and download of the Tesla app, though he said Tesla is currently pumping out cars faster than new chargers are coming online. And a piece in the Wall Street Journal this week points out the kind of chicken and egg problem with the business of building these charger networks in the absence of government support. Companies aren't sure they'll make any money by installing new chargers because there aren't a lot of electric vehicles in many areas. But consumers won't want to buy them because there's not enough charging infrastructure. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.